Welcome to another ILTA podcast. This podcast series is on Office 365, and we are happy to have Larry Kuhn join us from Microsoft. He's going to introduce himself in just a moment. The series of these podcasts will be on Office 365, and today in particular, we're going to dive into OneDrive. And with that, Larry, if you would like to introduce yourself, thank you for participating.
Thanks, Tim. I'm very happy to be here. So I think I'm known to some folks in the audience. My name is Larry Kuhn. I've been the Microsoft liaison point of contact for ILTA for roughly about 5 years now. Had the pleasure of working with the organization for a long time and very happy to be here and provide information and answer some questions about Office 365 for your audience.
Great. Well, again, thank you in advance, and let's just jump right in here. You know, there's some confusion around exactly what OneDrive is, and I know there's a product called OneDrive for Business, but I also understand there's a consumer version of OneDrive. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between those two products and maybe an overview of what OneDrive is exactly?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. So OneDrive is Microsoft's brand for file sharing and syncing capabilities. So you probably are very familiar with the Outlook brand for email, right? So you had Outlook client, and it was able to connect to both your at-work enterprise email system, and it was able to connect to consumer and personal email. Web email such as Hotmail, Outlook.com as it's called today, Gmail, etc. OneDrive is the analog on the file sharing and syncing side. So we have OneDrive.com, the consumer-facing personal service for file sharing and syncing, and then we have OneDrive for Business. And what we're developing is a consistent set of clients called the OneDrive applications, and those OneDrive applications can be configured with by entering your account credentials to connect to your personal OneDrive or to connect to your OneDrive for Business account at work. So the important distinction or maybe point of confusion that comes into play is many of the members of the audience here might be purchasing Office 365 services in various different manners, different licensing packages. Those that are on the consumer product side, which span home, personal, home and student, and home and business licensing options of the Office products, they all use the consumer service OneDrive as their file sharing and syncing mechanism. It's not until you get into the business plans, Office 365 Business Essentials, Office 365 for Business, Office 365 Business Premium, Office 365 for Enterprise. It's not until you get into those business plans where we start using OneDrive for Business as the file sharing and syncing mechanism. Many individuals will wind up interacting with both the consumer OneDrive service and the enterprise OneDrive for Business service.
Let me ask you this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but let's just say a network administrator, I have interest in controlling files and an employee departs the firm, for example. If I'm using OneDrive for Business, I would have a little bit more control over what files they had access to and making sure they're retained by the firm versus in the consumer version, I'm going to lose some of that control. Is that an accurate
statement? That's absolutely correct. So from a data ownership perspective, OneDrive for Business takes and provides the perspective that the enterprise, the employer, owns the data. So the OneDrive for Business file storage location is administered and controlled by the enterprise. In your example, when an employee leaves the firm, you disable their enterprise account, the employee would lose access to the file storage location in OneDrive for Business, and then your Office 365 administrative staff would be able to retrieve those files, reassign them, move them to other employees as necessary.
All right, that makes sense. Going a little further down, the path of OneDrive and how law firms are already using, you know, for the most part, they already have document management systems. And so
right.
OneDrive seems a little bit like a personal document management system or an additional document management system. It seems like law firms might want to discourage the use of OneDrive. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I certainly encounter that perspective as I talk to the customers that I serve. There's a bit of tension or contention between the document management system and OneDrive for Business in terms of when is the appropriate time to use each tool. So let's break it down a little bit and talk about what the specific advantages of, or special capabilities of each of those are. On the document management side, if I were to, you know, speak generally across the myriad different product options that are out there, they're really focused on version control, version management, and records management and records retention, right? So making sure that there's a durable long-term record of finished work products. That's really what their end objective is. And extending on that end objective, many firms use the document management system as the end-all, be-all, single central repository for all document types. So let's shift over to what OneDrive for Business, what its advantages and focuses are. So it's really focused on, like, as I'll use the term that you use, which is personal document management, right? So as you are authoring new material, you're collaborating with peers, coworkers, both internally and externally from the firm, there are many interim versions of a document that are really noise when it comes to what you want to keep track of long term. It's that final approved, agreed upon version of the file that's super important to capture in the long term record. So what I counsel my customers to do is to think about using OneDrive for Business as that sandbox, that playground, that temporary location where they're generating and coalescing the documents, and continue to use the document management system as the long-term system of record. So the advantages of using OneDrive for Business as that sandbox or temporary location is that it's ideally suited and focused on facilitating the collaboration aspects. So document co-authoring, rich previews, the ability to grant and revoke sharing permissions throughout the authoring cycle. Those are things that OneDrive for Business is very focused on. Once the document reaches completed state or near completed state, then it's definitely appropriate to take that document and put it into the document management system.
Okay. So that was one of the other things I was going to ask you about was about, you know, if I have a document in OneDrive, and that makes sense to me, you know, it's probably at the end of the day going to be a lot easier for a lot of people that work on documents to simply open it from OneDrive rather than VPN in into the document management system and check out a document and make sure they check it back in. That sounds a lot easier. But I can share it sort of at will. So if I'm working with two or three other people, it's easy enough for me to share a file from within OneDrive with other users. That's not a big problem.
No, in fact, it's pretty straightforward. And it's more secure than perhaps with the previous, I would say, de facto sharing mechanism was, which was file attachments in email, right? That's probably the worst, most least secure way of sharing documents because the recipient is in complete control of the file attachment and the sender loses complete control. By contrast, when you use OneDrive for Business file sharing, what the sender does, they don't actually send the file, they send a link to the file, and they adjust the permissions on the file in its storage location in OneDrive for Business. And so Bobby puts the sharing permission and says that Susie can edit the file. The file stays in its source location. All the edits that Susie makes are audited and logged. And then when Bobby says, Susie's done, he can revoke her editing permissions. It gives the sender of the document much more control. And then extending that paradigm a little further, the enterprise has visibility and control as well, right? So if Bobby's supervisor decides Bobby doesn't work here anymore, he can revoke Bobby's access and Susie's access and have control over the document.
Now, does everybody in this scenario that collaborates on the document, do they all need a OneDrive account? Or could I, for example, send something to, you know, frank@aol.com and he could just log in and do that?
So what the document needs to be stored in a OneDrive for Business file storage location. So that person who's sharing the document needs to have an Office 365 subscription. There are many different subscription levels, but they need to have one that includes OneDrive for Business. So that's kind of a minimum bar for entry. Then the people they share it to can be inside or outside the organization, and that's configurable by the administrator if they want to allow external sharing. But they need to have an account of some type. Now, there's no license charge or cost involved. And there may be an account setup that has to happen for the first time that an external person tries accessing a document on OneDrive for Business, because we need to establish an identity and so that we can audit and keep track of who the person is. But they don't have to be a paying customer of Office 365. And it's up to the recipient to choose which email address they'd like to select as a username and so forth. And under the covers, what Microsoft is doing for those external recipients is we're associating them to a Microsoft account. Now, this is another area where Office 365 creates some confusion within my accounts, my customers, that I want to try and clarify. So Office 365 users get an account, and Microsoft calls that an organization ID. The external recipients may or may not be Office 365 customers. If they are, they will also have an organization ID. But if they're not, they can create a free Microsoft account. And a Microsoft account is something that many people are familiar with. When you sign up for Outlook.com email, or if you've used Xbox Live, for instance, you're creating a Microsoft account, and that's your identity out in the wild. And you can use a Gmail address for that. You can use a Yahoo address, whatever email address you want to use. We accept as long as it's not an enterprise email address. So, you know, kind of consumer email addresses is what we typically see for Microsoft accounts. So does that make sense? Did I create more confusion there?
No, it makes sense. One other question on the consumer version of OneDrive. Does it all basically work the same way as you've just described, with the exception that Bobby's supervisor can't really do anything?
Yeah, it's very, very similar from the end user's experience. The main differences are that there is no centralized control. So yeah, there's no role of a supervisor or of an enterprise or any other higher permissioned entity. So nobody else can get access to your individual files. You know, if you want to close your account, nobody can get to those files anymore. So really the consumer side of OneDrive, those are personal files, and they're managed by you alone.
Okay. And what's the default setting, for example? Let's say I'm an attorney and I set up two accounts. I set up one for OneDrive for Business Enterprise, and I set up another one for my, other business I have on the side, for example. And then I start saving some documents in OneDrive, and they're just for my personal use. Is by default no one else would have access to those documents?
That's right. So with both services, the default permission is private.
Okay.
So only the account holder has access to the files that they create.
I assumed that, but I thought, you know, let's just put that out there. And make
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Now on the OneDrive for Business side, we do have a facility to kind of make it easier to share information within the walls of your enterprise. Inside of your OneDrive for Business file storage location, we do create a folder that's called Shared with Everyone. And that folder has different permissions on it, which is, I mean, everyone in air quotes there means everyone inside the Office 365 enterprise. So if you're, you know, XYZ Corp, all the employees of XYZ Corp would be able to see any files that you placed inside that Shared with Everyone folder. And the reason that we offer that or provide that is that there's a basic assumption that all the members of an enterprise are working collectively together and have similar interests and need to share information with one another. So there's that location is there, but it's really up to the end user to decide when and if they ever want to put any files into that Shared with Everyone folder.
And if the Shared with Everyone folder gets filled up with, you know, a couple hundred documents, I assume it would be easy enough for an end user in the organization to go up there and say, you know, find me all the documents that mention Main Street or whatever search terms I want. Is that similar to a SharePoint site, searchable in that way?
It's more than similar to a SharePoint. It actually is a SharePoint site under the hood. So okay. You hit the nail on the head is when you go to the SharePoint search portal inside the Office 365 environment and you just type in a search phrase, among the locations you are searching, besides searching all of the other SharePoint sites in the environment, you are also searching the Shared with Everyone folders across every user's OneDrive for Business.
That sounds great. You know, one of the other sort of questions I hear in you know, amongst the chatter is, what about the security? What would, for example, keep an employee from taking stuff that's in OneDrive for Business and putting it in their personal OneDrive account, for example? Not that they have any way of stopping them from taking them out of the DMS and putting them on a CD and taking them home, but
right.
You know, there seems to be a lot of security concerns, and these documents now are being stored in the Microsoft cloud rather than, you know, in the traditional file server or DMS that might be hosted on-site. Can you talk a little bit about how Microsoft addresses all those sorts of concerns?
Sure. Well, let's separate a couple things. Your question there, you hit upon a couple different points that I'd like to address individually. So the first is malicious or accidental user action to remove or to take a sensitive document out of the environment. So from that perspective, there are a couple things, and we're improving the service all the time, but there are a couple things. So first, we log and audit, and the administrator in the environment can look at the audit logs and see when files have been opened and, you know, created and deleted and so forth. So there is an audit log. The other thing that we've added to the service recently is this concept of data loss prevention. So just like over on in the Exchange environment where you can create transport rules that look for patterns of sensitive data and then flag when those occur, the same capability has been added to OneDrive for Business. So you could prevent people from putting certain document types into OneDrive for Business. You could create what's called a document thumbprint, for instance. So if, you know, you had a sensitive HR form that should only ever be stored in the document management system and is deemed never to be appropriate to be on a personal OneDrive site, you could create a data loss prevention rule that stops it from even being uploaded there in the first place, right? And then the last facility that I would recommend there is information rights management. So you can institute that anytime a document is taken off of the OneDrive for Business site that's downloaded to be transferred to any other external file storage location, that the documents automatically get encrypted with information rights management. And what that does is it encrypts the document and seals it, and requires that any time the document is opened, the person opening the document would have to enter valid credentials, and those credentials would be checked against an access control list to make sure that that user is authorized to see the document. So, you know, in the case of Bobby that we talked about earlier, if he were to take a document from his OneDrive for Business, put it on his local file system on his computer at home, and then Bobby leaves the firm, when he goes to open that document on his file system on the computer at home, he's going to be prompted for credentials that are enterprise credentials that have since been revoked, and he won't be able to even open the document. So information rights management is really your best mechanism there for protecting against the individual who has accidental or malicious intent to take information out of the enterprise. Now, the second bullet that you raised in your question was, what about Microsoft's access to the documents? And here I cannot stress heavily enough that Microsoft is heavily committed to the concept of trust. So we have an entire organization that's dedicated to maintaining our trust position with our customers. We have the Office 365 Trust Center, where we publish all of the standards and procedures that we follow in terms of maintaining the integrity of customer data in our data centers. We will never inspect the document content that's stored in our cloud on behalf of our customers. Our customers own their data. Microsoft is simply a service provider in terms of data handling. So we take extensive measures to encrypt the data when it's at rest in our data centers. Before we encrypt it, we strip it into down to individual file storage blocks, and we encrypt the blocks, and we make sure that the blocks are stored on varying different physical drives within the data center. So, you know, any given piece of hardware in the data center is more or less a worthless jumble of encrypted file blocks from random files. So there are many different layers of safeguard, both from a technology perspective and from a people and process perspective, to make sure that your data is safe when it's in our data center.
That sounds very similar to what you do with OWA, or I'm sorry, email that's stored on Office 365.
It's very much the same. In fact, at the physical layer, it's all the same physical infrastructure.
Well, that sounds great. Now, I don't want to name names, but it's my understanding that there's another very large search engine in use in the world. And when you store documents with them and email with them, they use those documents to enrich their search capabilities, that they build their algorithms and make them stronger by using your email and documents for fodder. And you're saying Microsoft does not do that. Is that correct?
Right. So our terms of use and privacy statements say explicitly that Microsoft does not mine or examine the content of the data that we store on behalf of our customers. So we don't examine it for purposes of advertising or targeting or any of that kind of thing.
Okay. And that's been my understanding. So I guess I just wanted to, let's just put it on the record. So good. I'm glad to hear the case. We've covered a lot about just OneDrive for Business, and I appreciate your time on this. I think this might be a good place for us to wrap it up. For the listeners out there, if you have ideas about other things in Office 365 that you would like to see covered, please contact me. And my name is Tim Hooks, or put it in the idea database at ILTA, and we'll make sure we address that. Other possible topics we're looking at are Delve, Exchange Online, the different licensing models around Office 365, even some stuff around compliance, and how you might support and roll out Office 365 and under some of these different licensing scenarios. I know there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of information out there. And if you check on the ILTA website, you will find some information that Kara Portwood put together with a lot of links to a lot of really good information on Office 365. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up. Larry Kuhn, thanks for spending some time with us on this podcast. We look forward to doing it again, and have a great day, everyone.